The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John testified, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God.'" The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He came to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 PM. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. You looked a little confused. I read ahead. This is next week's gospel reading, which follows the baptism of Jesus. We've already told the baptism of Jesus story. Jesus, Son of God, my beloved child. Immediately followed by Lamb of God. The images, of course, of Revelation, the Lamb that was slain, the Lamb that took away the sin of the world, brings our two sacraments together right here this morning. The baptism of Jesus. I think the first question that we always ask, or at least, you know, as comes up when we talk about it in confirmation classes, was why did Jesus have to be baptized? He was without sin, right? Baptism washes away our sin. So Jesus didn't have sin. Why was he baptized? And the answer is he is the fulfillment of the covenant. Baptism for all of us is not just a washing away of sin. And I don't use the word "just" lightly, because having our sin washed away is a pretty big deal. But baptism is a beginning, an inauguration, a new covenant begun. Now, I want to paint this picture for you. I don't know if any of you have been to the Holy Lands, but the Jordan River now is nothing like what the Jordan River used to be like. The Jordan River used to be a wild, rushing river, spanned a great distance, started at the top of a mountain and finished at the Dead Sea. And so you can just imagine the water racing and the river being swollen. And this is the river, the swollen river that we hear about in the Old Testament, in Joshua chapter 3. When God's people are entering the promised land. Do you remember that? I want to take us back to that first covenant, because that's how we make sense of Jesus' baptism. Do you remember in the Old Testament, in Exodus, the people were slaves in Egypt? And Christians and Jewish people have had to tell this story for centuries. We keep rehearsing the story, retelling the story. They were slaves. And God said, I'm going to set you free. I'm going to take you to a new place. A land flowing with milk and honey. Though we probably don't have that same kind of image that they did back then about how great a land flowing with milk and honey would be. But it's going to be the promised land. A place of your own. A place where you are no longer in bondage. And the people said, yes, we want that. And of course, you remember the struggles between Moses and Pharaoh. And the plagues, and that final plague, where we first heard about the words, the phrase, the Lamb of God. Because it was that Passover lamb that set the people free from sin and from death, from the angel of death on that night of Passover. It was the Lamb of God that set the people free. And they fled. But then they thought they were going to get to the promised land immediately, which was probably their biggest failure, because it took another 40 years. That first generation never got into the promised land, but they had the promise. Keep that in mind. God's promises are real. God is always good on God's promises, but they're not necessarily going to be in our time frame. They're on God's time frame. So they wandered the wilderness for 40 years. And then God took them through to the promised land. You know where he took them through to the promised land, right? They had to cross the River Jordan. But not only did they have to cross the River Jordan, but in the methodical way of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, and then Joshua, they had an ordering to how the people would go across that river. And first and foremost, the people were led by the covenant. The priests with the Ark of the Covenant had to put the covenant on their shoulders, and they had to walk down into the raging water. And only as they stepped into the water did it part. Like the Red Sea parted before when they were set free at the Passover. And the water parted and they entered the promised land. Covenant first. Now the Jordan River throughout the Bible has lots of great things happening at it. Elijah and Elisha had all sorts of healing experiences there. Remember Naaman the Syrian? Said, no, I want to get healed in my water. And the answer was no. You either get healed in the Jordan or you don't get healed, because this is our God who says the Jordan is special here. The Jordan is where you're going to be healed. The Jordan is where you're going to be set free. And to this generation, crossing Jordan is synonymous with being set free, with finding the promised land, as it was even for the slaves in the early centuries of American history. All those old spirituals that talk about crossing Jordan, they had kind of a dual meaning. Part of the meaning, of course, was going home to heaven. Part of the meaning was being set free from slavery. And perhaps that's a connection for us as well. As we think about the baptism of Jesus, our own baptism, and being set free, we are set free in baptism from our bondage to sin, death, and the devil. We're given new life and forgiveness of sin. We're also connected to eternal life. That life forever in Jesus that says, no matter what burdens we bear in this lifetime. And I've been with this congregation a little over a year now. And I know many of you are carrying very heavy burdens. Whatever burdens you are carrying, God carries them with you. God carries them for you. And one day will set you free from all of them. But I want to come back to Jesus stepping into that water with John the Baptist. You see, Jesus, of course, like I said at the beginning, didn't need to be set free from his sins. But in this season of Epiphany, as Jesus steps into the water and the Holy Spirit announces, "This is God's beloved Son." It's just like the angels announcing it 2 short weeks ago at Christmas. The angels announcing it to the shepherds and the angels. This was a new announcement from the skies that Jesus is the Son of God. But more so, ties back to that first crossing Jordan. Jesus himself said it. And you hear me say it every Sunday at the altar. When I raise up the bread and the wine and repeat the words of Jesus. This blood is the new covenant for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Jesus replaced the Ark of the Covenant going into that water. That first time the people crossed over to the Promised Land, they were led by the Ark of the Covenant, which contained the Ten Commandments. That Ark of the Covenant was their promise that God was with them. Now, Jesus leads into the water, into the waters of baptism, to proclaim for all, "Come to me. I will carry your burdens. Come to the waters of baptism. I will carry your sins away. Come to me. I can carry your worries. Come to me. I can carry your pain. Come to me. I will set you free. Journey from slavery to freedom, from bondage to identity in baptism. You are named and claimed just as Jesus was, child of God, never ever to be alone in anything you're walking through. I am the new covenant for all people." Amen.